Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
See the it faces.
Is the Savage Nation.
Only the shadow.
Early. Lots to talk about. Crazy night last night. Bernie Sanders beats Hillary. Mainly he appeased the Muslims in Dearborn and the losers up in the peninsula who don't work for a living. Fat people who sit around watching television, drinking beer, who think that it'll send them a new television, a new, I guess, a lifetime supply of beer and sandals. They certainly don't need haircuts up there in the peninsula of Michigan. So Bernie the commie keeps pushing the big lie over and over again that it's the billionaires and the millionaires. The millionaires and the billionaires who are ruining America. And Trump did a great infomercial last night. I can't wait to get those steaks, drink a bottle of the water, fly on his airline, drink some of his wine, read the Trump magazine, fly over to his club and take a course at his university. I just can't wait. I couldn't believe it. And he turned himself into a parody, which is funny. He was goofing on everybody because he was in a good mood. That he had won. I don't know if you saw that last night. It was very funny, really. But going back yesterday, I mean, you got to remember yesterday's show was a lot of people loved it. But yesterday's show, March 8th, show recap. I asked you, imagine life after 3 years of a Hillary presidency. What would the country be like? And then I said, truth. We're all seeking the truth. People are trying to figure out the truth on their own. They listen to talk shows. They read the papers. They watch the news. And they don't know where the truth is. That was a good topic. And let's see, what else did we talk about yesterday? Well, I think the big topics were those two, frankly. I talked about the media distorting the truth. Brett Baer, who has gone from an A to a D, running a fake Democratic town hall. I used to respect Brett Baer, but my God, what he did with Hillary was embarrassing. So today, Bernie Sanders is an issue. We'll dig into the information of who voted for him and why. We'll talk about Trump turning the victory speech into an infomercial. We'll ask you why the elites are flooding the West with immigrants, especially young Hispanics from Central America, Honduras, young girls who will get pregnant and give birth, and young children who will grow up in America. Why are the elites flooding America with illegal aliens primarily from Central America now? It's a fascinating topic because it's happening. They are overrunning the border. They are stampeding across the border. Jay Johnson, the DHS chief, should be arrested for dereliction of duty. Congress should arrest him, take him out of office, and arrest the man for what he's doing. He gave a speech yesterday before Congress and said there's only so much I can do to control the borders. It's a shock that he gets away with it. But then again, we know why. We know the same reasons that apply to Obama apply to Jay Johnson. It's a little game they're playing. Jay Johnson says, oh, there's only so much border security you can accomplish. Really, Mr. Johnson, so much border security you can accomplish? You liar, you? You're in charge of keeping our homeland safe, and you say there's only so much border security you can accomplish. No, my friends. If I were president, the first thing I'd do is arrest Jay Johnson, get the email chain between him and whoever's telling him to look the other way, ask the Border Patrol agents what's been done to them, and of course, start deportation proceedings and build a wall. New NOAA radio data, that's a government agency, shows no global warming for 58 years. Further proof that the liberal line about climate change is a complete construct. Attorney General Loretta Lynch says the White House should not include her in any consideration for the new Supreme Court justice. No, not at all, but you should be involved in the death of Antonin Scalia, Miss Lynch. You should investigate whether he was assassinated or not, or shall I say executed, because there's evidence that he was, Miss Lynch, but of course we don't expect that from you in the banana republic that we're living in. And with the yellow journalism of Brett Baer and the others, there'll never be an investigation. The phone number here is 855-407-282. That is the beginning of the show. Why did Bernie Sanders win so big with Michigan Muslims? Huge win. Big embarrassment for Hillary Clinton. But he won the city of Dearborn by 20 points. Dearborn's population, as you may know, is over 40% Muslim. And overall, exit polls show that Sanders won Muslim voters in Michigan by a 70-30% margin. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would Muslims turn out and vote for a secular Jewish candidate by such large margins? Have you known many Muslims who like Jews? Well, the answer is quite clear. They didn't vote for Bernie Sanders because he's Jewish. They voted for Bernie Sanders because he's a communist. And as you well know, communists hate Israel. Do you have any other questions? Because I have the answers. It's that simple. Bernie Sanders made a lifetime of saying he's not a practicing Jew. I'm not a practicing Jew. When it's about my religion, I am not a practicing Jew. I have no religious orientation. That went on for months. So they figured, hey, look, we're better off with a communist guy who's originally Jewish because Karl Marx was like that. And we know how that worked out. So why not go for Karl Marx Jr.? So that's the answer. I mean, come on, it's not that complicated. They took a chance on him, figuring he would do what they want done. Do you think that's the reason or not? Why in the world would they vote for him instead of Hillary Clinton? I don't think that's a big deal, by the way. But you should know that the Sanders campaign has focused on courting the Arab population in Dearborn, especially in the last week. He met with the Arab American leaders in the city. Bernie released an Arab language radio wave in the Dearborn market. And he reiterated a Dearborn campaign rallying to going to end bigotry in this country once and for all. It's hardly a new theme in Sanders' campaign. He lives on race hatred and race warfare. This is how he got where he is in Vermont, amongst the fools who fled New York. See, let me explain something about him and Vermont as a senator. You have to understand this. I know it so well that it's worth talking about. The communist liberals from the Upper West Side of Manhattan destroyed Manhattan way back when in the Dinkin years. After the city became uninhabitable, they fled to Vermont. Vermont used to be a very conservative state, very Republican state. And the ex-New Yorkers who polluted the state destroyed Vermont. They fled to Burlington, a lot of them, and then they elected one of their own, Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders became a mayor of Burlington and immediately tried to impose socialist, communist, whatever you want to call it, policies in place. So after they destroyed New York City, they went to Vermont. And then they sought out to change Vermont in their own image. And that's the rest of the story. The phone number here is 855-407-282. This is the Savage Nation. I was enjoying watching Donald Trump last night with his victory speech. I don't know what he called out a baseball player for who I never heard of. What did he have to do with his election? I didn't understand that part of it. I'll be very honest with you, very clear. Donald Trump owes his entire success to talk radio. Were it not for my show and others, Donald Trump would not be where he is today. I'm just saying it like it is. He's a very smart man, and he spent no money on ads. Where do you think the people found out about him in the beginning? It wasn't from Mad Dog Kelly. I mean, Mad Dog Kelly tried to undermine him. She was told to do it by her bosses. It was not Mad Dog Kelly who did it. It was shows like mine who introduced him in a proper manner and said that we'll get more from him than most other candidates, and he can do what we want, you know. I mean, he'll go in there. We're not going to get 100% of what we want. He's a politician now. But we'll get more from him than any of the others. So he owes it all to talk radio. Free advertising is what it comes down to. And that's my opinion. So, I mean, why he calls out a baseball player after the victory, I have no idea. What, does he have 12 followers? An ex-New York Yankees baseball player gives him a shout-out like he attracted millions of voters. No one heard of the guy. So let's begin on the Savage Nation this wonderful Wednesday afternoon with the first clip, the celebratory speech turning into a giant infomercial of Mr. Trump on the Savage Nation.
Built a great, great company. I have very low debt. I have assets. You've seen Mar-a-Lago. You know, many, many jobs in New York, including a city on the west side. The Bank of America building, a big chunk of it in San Francisco. I have Trump International, the water company. I supply the water for all my places, and it's good. Trump Steaks. What are the steaks? Do we have steaks? We have Trump Steaks. And by the way, you want to take one, we'll charge you about, what, $50 a steak. You have the airline. You have the wines and all of that. We have Trump Magazine. It goes to all of my clubs. I've had it for many years. And it's the magazine. It's great. In Trump University, we're going to start it up as soon as I win the lawsuit. Does that make sense? I mean, that's it. Okay.
Not bad. So, look, you got a full package right there. You drink the water. You stay in the hotel. You eat the Trump steak. You fly in the Trump airline, you have the Trump wine, you read the Trump magazine as you're flying to Trump University. What more could you ask for? The only thing missing is a Trump church. I think you ought to get into that business next. You should consider opening a Trump church and hire the ministers or the reverends or the pastors, whatever you may want. Then you have everything. You have a pathway to heaven right there. So the celebratory speech turns into an infomercial. Came equipped with props to press the case. Stand showcasing a variety of Trump-owned products, including the water, the vodka. I left out the vodka, the steak, the magazines, and the wine. He owns the winery, 100%, no mortgage, no debt. That's to, and he had a display of Charlottesville, Virginia wines next to the stage. This guy's got nerve. You got to hand it to him. Now, if little Marco was up there displaying his products, I think it would have been a kind of an empty showcase. What could little Marco have displayed when you think about it? What could he be proud of? Well, here are the products that Marco created, an empty showcase. When you think about it, what products would Bernie Sanders put in his little showcase during a victory speech? Little statuettes of Karl Marx? Little paperweights of Vladimir Lenin? Trotsky letter openers? That's about all he could sell, a Trotsky letter opener, a Marx paperweight. That's about all that Bernie could sell. He'd probably do very well, by the way, in certain universities. He'd do very, very well. Or on the other hand, what could Hillary display in her showcase, in her victory speech, which she didn't have last night? But let's say Hillary had a victory speech, and she wanted to turn it into an infomercial. What products could she possibly show that anybody would want? She has no vodka, no steak, no airline, no magazine, no water, no wines. She can't turn wine, water into wine. I don't want to be vulgar because it's a family show, but my mind immediately runs to certain products that related to her tenure in the White House before with her wonderful pure husband. Well, that's the opening to the Savage Nation. If you can't join the care to join the conversation, the phone number here is 855-472-82. I intend to have a good time today. I hope you do too. I don't know why I want to have a good time other than I don't want to have a bad time. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. Hear the music. It's too much already. Till I come back after a commercial break, I don't know where I am anymore. Do you know where I am? Do you know where I am? Do you have any idea where I am? Do you know what you're doing? You're listening to the Savage Nation. We're talking about the election, the infomercial of Donald Trump. We made a joke about what other products the others could show, and the answer is nothing. Here's another topic I'm going to throw in. It's on no one's mind. I'm not there now. I live in near San Francisco in a county called Marin. I've been there since 1974. There was a place called the Waldo Tunnel. They renamed it for a comedian named Robin Williams. I knew Robin Williams as a neighbor. He was a nice guy, but I objected then and I object now to renaming a tunnel for a man who, I'm sorry, committed suicide in the most horrendous way in his house. Now, read the coroner's report if you don't believe me. So now a kid goes through the tunnel. Mommy, who was Robin Williams? Oh, he was a comedian who, what, Mommy? Well, you'll have to read it when you're over 18. They found him with a strap around his neck and a stool in the garage while his wife slept two rooms away, Johnny. Are you crazy? Why didn't you name the tunnel for an American war hero who died in Afghanistan or Iraq saving his buddies or saving a village? Well, what kind of sick city do I live in? Hello? The sickest city in the whole world. The sickest place in the entire universe is San Francisco, and the second sick sister is Marin County, filled with sicko liberals. So how did this happen? It happened because one crazy person in Marin County started a petition to change the tunnel's name. And it went to the morons, the corrupt morons who run the state of California, who have destroyed the state of California, incidentally. And they said, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's vote on that. Yay, we'll vote on it. Let's name the tunnel not for an American war hero, not for someone who sacrificed his life in a helicopter crash to save citizens. And I can name a few for you, by the way. No, let's name it for a comedian, as good as he was, and he was a good comedian, who ended his own life by putting a strap around his neck in a chair and hanging himself in a garage while his wife, a lovely lady, slept in a bedroom right nearby. I said then, and I'll say it again now. I'll repeat it over and over again. I know people reach a point of no return and they want to die. Okay, I'm not a fan of that. It's not in my religion. Suicide's not in my religion. For a number of reasons. It's the coward's way out. But you're going to do a thing like that. You don't do it 10 feet away from your wife who's sleeping in the bedroom by hanging yourself in the garage with the strap around your neck. That's a message. That's a nasty message that you're leaving behind. And a nasty mess, by the way. You want to commit suicide, be a man about it. Go do it where no one can find your body 2 feet away. Go do it somewhere else. I mean, I talked about it before. It's a horrendous, it's like a topic that's like chalk against the blackboard. You don't even want to talk about it, but I will. Because it's called talk radio, where any topic is fair game. And I'll ask you the question. Do you think it's appropriate to have named a tunnel near San Francisco for a comedian who hung himself by putting a strap around his neck over a doorway and was found in a little chair? God knows what else was found. I don't even want to talk about it. Go read the coroner's report. Is that appropriate for children? That's a hero? A suicide is a hero now. I disagree. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Bernie Sanders, Muslims in Michigan. Trump infomercial. Michigan exit poll data. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a San Francisco issue where they renamed a tunnel from the Waldo Tunnel into the Robin Williams Tunnel. And I object. And I object for a number of reasons. I object because if you're going to rename a tunnel, well, I'll put it to you this way. We've gone from the George Washington Bridge and the Lincoln Tunnel to the Robin Williams Tunnel, the Robin Williams Suicide Tunnel in two generations. Someone wrote me this. He said he was an addict who sat on a pile of hundreds of millions of dollars worth of riches and decided to kill himself. Why? Now, what about all the people whose family have someone in it who committed suicide, who are going to go through the tunnel and think of Robin Williams with a strap around his neck in a little chair in a garage hanging himself? Do you understand that this is part of the debasement of the human spirit as practiced by leftists in California? Do you understand that all of this is a product of liberalism being a mental disorder? My point is very clear. You name a tunnel, you name a bridge, you name a building, you name a mountain for a noble individual, not for an individual who committed suicide. My friends, that's my opinion. Now, that's not to say that he wasn't a nice man. He was a very sweet man. I would run into him in the street once in a while, my dog Teddy. His little dog, they would share a certain bush. He would tell jokes. I'd crack him up. I would do shtick with him sometimes. I had him doubled up. I became the comedian. So I enjoyed the relationship in the sense I knew him only from the street. Nice man. That's not the point. The point is something larger. It's a societal question. Now, of course, if this comment of mine and this show topic is picked up by the vermin in the Bay Area, they will leave out everything else that I'm saying. They'll do to me what they've done to Donald Trump because they've done it to me for 22 years. I could care less. I could care less what the psychos do. The point is that we're having a discussion. We're having a national discussion. He may have been a humanitarian. He may have been humble and friendly, which he was. That's irrelevant. That is irrelevant. What's relevant is that he committed suicide by putting a strap around his neck. And I think he kicked the chair out. I don't know the whole detail. I read the report. It was horrendous. I remember right after the suicide there, I had to flee my house because the media, the vultures came around. They asked everyone in the street what, this and that and that and this. The trucks were burning fumes into my house. The generators were running all night. I had to flee to another house I own away from there. I even fed some of the reporters. They're probably listening to the show. They were starving. They couldn't leave the area to go get food. I gave them food because I'm a nice guy. But the point is that if you're going to name a public conveyance for an individual, I think it should be merited, and I think it should be an American hero. Whether you like them or not is irrelevant. He was an entertainer who hung himself. And I can think of several other individuals who should have been honored, not only for the sake of their own name, but for the sake of our children who have to go through the tunnel. Now, you talk about the unstable people of the Bay Area. So every time they drive through that dark tunnel now, right? Every time they drive through that dark tunnel now, and they go into the deep darkness of that tunnel, and they're going to remember it's a suicide victim who it's named for. That's great for the unstable drug addicts of Marin County and others who go on to the Golden Gate Bridge. Really great. Very good thinking. And by the way, it's near the Golden Gate Bridge, no less. Very nice gesture. Slightly ironic, by the way, in its own way. I know someone who works, a police individual, who worked on the Golden Gate Bridge, stopping the suicides, the jumpers. A poor cop who had to talk to these people to try and keep them from doing a jump. Not a pretty thing to do, but wow, this is what I'm talking about, cultural degradation, naming a tunnel for a man who committed suicide. Many of you will disagree with me. I get that. But that's what makes me unique. At least maybe you'll think about what I'm saying to you. But Stephen, San Francisco on KSFO, obviously you disagree. Go ahead, you have the floor.
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Savage. I'm one of the few conservative comedians in the Bay Area. And I understand what you're saying, but I knew Robin. I worked with Robin many, many times. And I understand why they named the tunnel after him, because of everything he did. He did USO shows. He'd go to children's hospitals. With his film work, he brought so much joy and laughter to everyone. And he was a San Francisco icon. He was huge in the San Francisco comedy community. Every year he would come to Comedy Day. And
Steve, all of that is true. And I'm not negating any of those attributes. I am discussing a perennial name, a permanent name on a public highway for a man who committed suicide. Why couldn't we have named the tunnel for a war hero? Wouldn't that have been appropriate?
We do. We do name tunnels and stuff for war heroes.
Wait. Name one tunnel under Obama and any other president in the last two presidents who named it for a war hero. Name one.
Well, no, I was going to say, as you drive on the freeway, you see freeways named after police officers who have
yeah,
been killed.
Right. Well, right. You see a sign. That's what you see, a road sign. That could bring up a good point. Why not name it for a police officer killed by an illegal alien?
Robin was an icon, and he was a San Francisco
icon. Well, you're a comedian, so you're biased. So you think a comedian is equal to a war hero?
No. That's not.
You do. You think that being a comedian is the same thing as flying a helicopter in combat. I get it.
Not even. You know that. That's not even. I couldn't even compare that. You know, I stand on stage and make people laugh. These guys that fly helicopters and fight for our country's freedom is completely different.
Well, why don't we name the tunnel for one of them who died in a helicopter crash?
I think we should.
All right, good. So at least we met halfway, thanks to the call. I'm not going to make this a three-hour topic. But I saw it this morning on a website. I happen to live there. I'm not there now. And I'm out of the state. I'm in another state. And, it's the same story all over again. I think it's wrong. Someone wrote this. Oh, let's name the next bridge or stretch of highway after another celebrity who commits suicide. Don't think I'm alone on this, by the way. But maybe you don't agree with me. There are other topics we can talk about, and we'll get to them in a minute. I continue to take these calls on this topic. We did the celebratory speech. We got lots of Trump. I don't want to play it right now. I mean, I had enough already. Another debate. What's tonight, Robert? Another debate somewhere? This is definitely bread and circuses. This is bread and circuses. The border is being overrun by illegal aliens from Guatemala, El Salvador, young women who are going to breed and knock out babies like Tasty Bread, so that Facebook has workers, hotel industry has workers. What are you kidding me? That's the topic we really should be talking about, which is the overrunning of America. And my headline is, why the elites are flooding the West with immigrants. And the answer is very depressing, because the whites are dying off. If you look at the data about America's economy, and you look at the top tax rate, the regulatory burden, the level of wasteful government spending, you'll come up getting sick. But they're not as depressing as America's demographic projections. If you look at America's demographic projections, you will see that America's population pyramid is turning into a population cylinder. Now, statistically, that's a disaster. We have an aging population, a falling birth rate, and an increasing entitlement program mentality. We have a welfare state. We have a welfare state right now. Now, a modest-sized welfare state could be sustained when a nation has a population pyramid. But even a small welfare state is not supportable when you have a population cylinder. Do you know what that means at all? Well, if you look at the Wall Street Journal, there's a new story on the fiscal and demographic data emerging from Europe. And you'll understand why the elites are flooding Europe with people from the Middle East and Africa. They think that they're going to work. Huh. If only that were true, you'd say there's sense to it. But that's not the real reason the elites are flooding Europe with Muslim men of military age and Africans. You know and I know they're not going to work. In Europe, you have state-funded pensions, which are the heart of Europe's social welfare model. So you have, I see them coming to San Francisco. They work a certain number of decades, and then they want to do nothing the rest of their lives. The old commie socialist bureaucrats. They traipse around getting drunk on cheap wine in the cafes of San Francisco. And all they do is walk around and camera and this and that every 2 minutes. That's the whole reason for living. So who's paying for it? Who's paying for it? The pension is paying for it. And who's paying for the pension? Who? It's the people who are working and paying taxes. So now you have a demographic situation in Europe where they're not breeding either. You see, Euros stop breeding. No children allowed. Girls just want to have fun. Boys are afraid to be fathers. They're too egotistical. They won't give up any pleasure to raise a family. So they have hugely low birth rates, high longevity. And if you look at Europeans 65 or older who aren't working, there are 42 euros for every 100 workers. Did you hear this? 42 euros, 65 or older, who aren't working for every 100. And this is going to rise to 65 per 100 by 2060. So where are the workers going to come from? Because across Europe, the birth rate has fallen 40% since the 1960s. Since the advent of the sex revolution, since the advent of a woman's revolution, since the advent of birth control primarily, what you have now is about 1.5 children per woman. Now, that's not a sustainable number. You need 2.3 children per woman to reproduce and population sustain, let alone not increase. So now you have 1.5, so you have a shrinking population. Now you have huge debt burdens, pension burdens in Europe. So they're flooding Europe with immigrants who they think are going to suddenly work and pay taxes. It's the same exact reason that the elites give themselves here. You don't know any of this. Of course guys like Facebook want cheap labor right now. That's why they want H-1B visas. That's why they're working against Trump. That's why they want a stooge like Rubio. They want as cheap a worker as they can get from India right now to throw as many workers in the gutter as they can. Here's a guy worth $58 billion, a snot nose from Harvard. It's not enough money for him. He has to throw American workers in the gutter who are making $50 an hour to replace them with guys making $20 an hour from India. It just shows you what greed really is. It just shows you how greedy Zuckerberg is and all of the other tech giants. Apple is no different. Tim Cook is no different. Microsoft is no different, in my opinion. They're all the same, very greedy individuals. All they care about is the bottom line of their company. So you say, well, that's what they're supposed to do. Well, you know, you can have that argument up to a point, and then here comes a statement you're not going to believe. This is where regulation comes in. This is where a sane government steps in. This is where a president steps in and says, hey, Zuckerberg, you're not throwing American workers in the gutter anymore. You're not paying Indians to do the job at $15 or $20 an hour. I'll tell you what you're going to do, Zuckerberg. You're hiring back the last 25,000 IT workers that you fired before I became president. You're paying them back pay, all their back pay and wages, or you're going to have an awful lot to pay Zuckerberg for what you've done to the workforce in this country. And by the way, Zuckerberg, you can afford it. And you say the same thing to old Bill Gates, Mr. Sweater. My, what a PR agent do these guys have. You think these are the men, the images that they give you? You think that's who they really are? I wish I had PR agents to make me look that nice, but that's not who they are. No one's like that. That's PR imagery. They're greedy buccaneers. They're pirates. They're no different than the pirates of the high seas from centuries ago. And that's where a government comes in. You must control the Barbary Coast called Silicon Valley. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Well, of course, you want to talk about the blowout last night. I mean, Trump was a huge winner. The upset of Sanders over Hillary, a big story. There's other elements we're going to get to in hour two, such as this. Teamsters are backing Trump on trade and migration. You don't know about that. Teamsters are backing Donald Trump on trade and migration. They know what's going on with jobs. They know exactly what's going on. And look what's going on in Europe. Migrants brawling in tent city. Finland charging an Iraqi immigrant with war crimes. Slovenia to ban transit of migrants as the crisis spirals. The number one issue of our age is immigration, which is why Donald is surging. Do you understand that? Do you get it yet? And the reason Romney lost, I had dinner with Romney 2 years before he ran. I've told you the story. He's a very nice man. We met in a restaurant in San Francisco about 2 years before he ran. We went in an Italian restaurant, and it was almost like out of The Godfather. He said, "How's the veal?" I couldn't resist saying, "Try the veal. It's the best in the city." It was right out of the movie. But typically, the country club Republican that he was, he ate his food, every last green pea. He cut it properly. He wore check pants. And as we talked about issues, I said, you know, the number one issue for you is going to be immigration. I said, you have to talk about illegal immigration, Mr. Romney. And he said, well, you know, that's a real tough one. I said, what do you mean it's not a tough one? The American people want it stopped. Well, of course, we never talked again. He wouldn't even respond to an email after that, but the rest is history. Now we have a candidate who at least will talk about it and says he will build a wall, and maybe, just maybe, he will protect the American people. So that's why he's up, and that's why Marco Polo is in the gutter. Marco Polo, P-O-L-L-L-O-W, Marco the midget Polo, and all those people who backed him, have egg all over their face. Who backed Polo? Who in talk radio backed Polo? I backed Trump from the beginning. Of course, I'm never going to be remembered for that. All of the Johnny-come-latelys, I love this. This I love. All the guys who backed Cruz and hated Trump for months are going to say, mark my words, watch this happen. Once Trump becomes the obvious nominee, they'll say they always supported him. There's no question that's going to happen, and no one will remember, of course. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is what I know about my positions. And I back Trump, and I'll tell you why. Is he perfect? No. Is he as honest as I'd like anyone to be? No. I don't know the man. But what he says gives me hope that some of it will happen. And also, the big issue to me is, can he beat Hillary? She is the 400-pound, I shouldn't say gorilla, because that wouldn't be fair to gorillas. She's the 400-pound, I wouldn't say elephant, because it wouldn't be fair to elephants, the poor pachyderms. She is the 400-pound, no, I don't know, there's no analogy. She is the candidate to beat, and the only one who can beat her is Donald. And once he wins, that's another story with the, you know, the entropy in our government, the resistance in the media, the vermin in the media, Mad Dog Kelly and the others. Are you kidding me? He's going to have a lot of rough sledding. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Hotel Savage Fornia. I had a good hour. Hour one was good. Started out comedic and ended up tragic. I did a reversal. That was a tragic comedy hour. I mean, started out comedic and ended up tragic. That's all. Little tragic comedy on the Savage Nation. So in Florida, Trump is leading Marco Polo. And I don't know what Polo is going to do after this. If Polo loses the primaries in his own state, he'll have to become a doorman at the Wynn Hotel. Or I don't know what he's going to be. He could be a greeter at the Sands Hotel in somewhere. Trump could hire him to be a greeter somewhere. He could put him into a midget's costume. That was funny on the Drudge Report, that midget thing. Unbelievable. I was laughing last night. Well, we don't know where this is going to all end, so all we can do is sit here like the peons that we are and look in from the outside while those who control everything are controlling everything. We were also talking about the suicide issue where they rename a tunnel in San Francisco for Robin Williams, who committed suicide. And again, I'll say it again. He was a nice man, a good man. But I object to naming a tunnel for a man who committed suicide. It should have been named for an American soldier who died in combat. There are plenty of them, by the way. His name should have been up there. Or a CHP officer who died in the line of duty to protect you from the vermin on the highways. I got to control it. It's a family show. You don't know what these cops have to put up with after Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. You don't know what they've done to police. You don't know how they made the life of a policeman almost impossible. You don't know what it's like for a man with a child to get up in the morning and put a vest on and go out and not know if he's going to come home at night because of people like you. All you left-wing fanatics, what you've done. Try to imagine the thin blue line gone and then imagine the people that you love so much having the power. See what they would do to you, you idiots, you. Please forward to Michael Savage, redflagnews.com. It's been a year since we were last in touch. This is to my lawyer. I just got it. Dr. Savage won the Trailblazer Award again this year with an overwhelming 70% margin of 6 million votes. He continues to do excellent work, connects so well with my readers. Would you mind forwarding this email and link to Michael at your earliest convenience? I believe you will enjoy this news. I didn't even know about this. I didn't. I just got it a minute ago from my attorney, Dan Horowitz. How are you, Dan? How's your son? How's your daughter? How's your wife? Redflagnews.com. Oh, look at that. Congratulations to Dr. Michael Savage, Ph.D. Look at them. Redflagnews.com announces the 2016 Reader's Choice Trailblazer Award. Have contributed to America's founding principle of fiscal responsibility, constitutionally limited government, and free markets by being outspoken advocates and supporters of the independent, libertarian, conservative, and or Tea Party movements. More than 6 million people voted since January 1st via the redflagnews.com mobile app and independent news website with an overwhelming margin of 77%. We are pleased to announce this year's two-time redflagnews.com trailblazer. Congratulations to Dr. Savage. Redflagnews.com is ranked 11th in the top 100 conservative websites for 2016, according to quantcast.com. You know, maybe I'm in the wrong business. Maybe I ought to be running for office. If I'm this popular, maybe I should be running and selling a steak and a bottle of water and a vodka job. No, I'm not a politician. You know, I know more now than ever. How many years have I told you I'll never run for office? Years, right? Right? How many years have I said I'm never going to run for office? In the beginning, everyone on radio thinks they're going to be president. Or at least a senator. In their mind, they get popular for a year or two. Right away, they have stars in their eyes. I'm going to be a congressman. I don't want to be a congressman. There's no power. I'll be a senator. They don't run. They can't win anything. I knew this after a couple of years, after my compassionate conservative conventions, and I'm the progenitor of the Tea Party in America. I don't need you to tell me I am or I'm not. I'll tell you who I am. Back in the 90s, I was running compassionate conservative conventions, filling halls of 2,000, 7,000 at the Concord Pavilion, now known as the something else, Pavilion, I don't know the name of it. The Chronicle Pavilion, 7,000 people, and they paid, they weren't, I had the conventions with people who were fanatic followers. It was wonderful. It was the greatest years of my life. I mean, looking back on it, truthfully, it was more exciting than now. Because when you're building something in the beginning, you know what I'm saying? It's really, you got so much hope you're going to change the country for the better. It got much worse, by the way. We lost control of the country to this rat administration. This rat's nests of, oh, don't get me started. Anyway, so the first conventions were at the Marin Civic Center Auditorium, in Marin Veterans Auditorium, 2,000 screaming fans. I have them all on videotape, and they're not for sale, no. The Oakland Airport Hilton, try 'em and fry 'em. Hillary Clinton was up there in a cardboard cutout. Yeah, yeah. Shortly thereafter, I was banned in Britain, by the way. Try 'em and fry 'em, name 'em and shame 'em. Great conventions. And I understand what it was like to motivate people and have a crowd out there. We had wonderful politicians speaking before. We had Boy Scouts leading the Pledge of Allegiance. We had military personnel admitted free, in some cases, standing up. We did the whole thing. Oh, the best convention I ever did was Saving the Real Private Ryan. Raise your hand if you were at that convention. I have it on videotape. You know, one of these days I'm going to put them all together for you and release them at a very low price. It'll be like a vodka, a steak, a water, a hotel. See, my only products are books and events and radio shows. I don't have a steak and a water and a vodka and a wine. Maybe I should, but I don't. My only products are my ideas. I don't really have anything else. I'm actually I'm totally a man of ideas. That's what I really am, a man of ideas. I'm a man of ideas. But anyway, so you got the Saving Real Private Ryan event. I got to tell you about that one. I don't know when, in the mid-90s. It's important for you to know. So Saving the Real Private Ryan, we had World War II and Korean War veterans. Some men were in their late 80s who were on the stage with me. They brought tears to your eyes when they stood up, these elderly gentlemen, and you hear their stories that were told of what they did in that war to prevent Hitler from taking over the world. Everybody walked away feeling better and prouder to be an American. I know what it's like to want to see America back again. And so having worked in the trenches for 22 years this March already, it's nice to see some of my ideas come to fruition in the form of Donald Trump. Borders, language, culture. He is the only candidate virtually working on the borders issue. The others say it okay, but not as vociferously. And I believe he, possibly of all of them, could get it done because he's mean and tough. He's smart. See, he's not even mean. He's tough, which is different than mean. Marco is mean, but not tough. Marco is a mean guy with big hands. And never trust a small man with big hands. You know what they say about small men with big hands, don't you? That's a joke. Come on. It's going to be a running line now on the show. Because Marco started in big man with small hands, I started playing with it. Never trust a small man with big hands. You know what they say about him. It's a very funny sequence of events that we could run through here. So anyway, Marco Polo, Trump expands Florida lead. Michael Savage wins RedFlagNews.com Trailblazer Award. They don't know this. Michael Savage, let me read this. I have to do this for a minute. Michael Savage is a conservative American radio host, author, and political commentator. Savage is individualistic, iconoclastic, and eclectic. A passionate populist who sometimes sounds like a shock jock. An independent-minded individualist, Michael fits no stereotype. He attacks big government and liberal media bias, but champions the environment and animal rights. He wrote, quote, "Those who listen to me say they hear a bit of Plato, Henry Miller, Jack Kerouac, Moses, Jesus, and Frankenstein." That's one of my early lines. I remember that from the early years. That's funny. When I'm now laughing at my own jokes, you can tell you where I'm at in my life. "Those who listen to me say they hear a bit of Plato, Henry Miller, Jack Kerouac, Moses, Jesus, and Frankenstein." J.R. Elliott, creator and editor of RedFlagNews.com, says Michael Savage entertains me, makes me curious, makes me want to tune in. Sometimes that is predictably unpredictable. Give him 3 weeks, and you'll be smitten with his refreshing candor. Please show your support by visiting his website, buying his books, liking his social media pages, and patronizing his advertising sponsors. Mainly listen to the radio, because that's the king of it all. And be nice to my dog, whatever you do. Patronize my dog. Be nice to Teddy if you meet him in the street. Give him a bush to relieve himself on. Come prepared with a twig if you're running. What month is this? March. I just finished getting the proof pages of my picture book that's coming out. All photos of me and Teddy. A small book. It'll be out just before Mother's Day. It's called Teddy and Me. You'll love the book. I swear to God, it's good. Even for those of you who hate me, you're going to love me after this book when you see how nice I am to my dogs. 855-4072. I'm trying to lighten it up again. I can't go back to the strap in the garage with the chair. I can't go there. I cannot go back to the image of him in the chair in the garage with the coroner, with the God knows what else, with the pain. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know more about it than I already read with the strap and the chair knocked over. I that was enough for me. I didn't want to hear the rest. I stopped reading the coroner's report halfway through. I'm shocked that the coroner released it when he did. I really am. Man. Iran test fires two missiles marked with Israel must be wiped out. What do you care? Go ahead. Walk away cocktail. Go ahead. Take it away. Transgender this, transgender. All you care about is transgender this, transgender that, global this, global that. Meanwhile, Iran, who was just given dispensation, hundreds of billions of dollars by your president, not mine, Barack Obama. We told you what he was going to do. They violate the treaty, and he says nothing. He's going to a golf game or something instead of Nancy Reagan's funeral. Iran test fires two missiles marked with Israel must be wiped out. You know, let me tell you a little story about this, all you Jew haters. I'll tell you something about it real fast. Keep kicking the Jew around. Go ahead. Keep kicking the Jew. Kick the Jew. Have fun. The Iranians are going to wake up one morning. Tehran will be glass. God, just keep kicking the Jew around. Keep threatening annihilation. See how long you can get away with it. Go ahead. Keep kicking the Jew. Keep kicking him. Keep threatening to kill him. You'll wake up to a city of glass, you pieces of garbage, you. I better stop right now because I didn't mean to get mad. I'll get mad, though, if I have to. I am so pissed off at...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. What was the election about in Michigan? The economy and immigration. Muslims were a huge part of the vote in Michigan. Look at the polling data. Look at the questions. People are not stupid. They see Muslims coming in and not doing in Rome as the Romans do, but telling the Romans to do as Muslims do. Right now, if you look across the pond, there's an article from the Telegraph UK. London more Islamic than the Muslim world, according to a Muslim scholar. London is more Islamic than the Muslim world, according to an Islamic scholar. Is that what you want in America? Is that what you want for your children? To be forced to practice a religion, perhaps, that they don't even understand? No, I don't think that's what you want. And that's why Trump is thriving. Horns and all. People know who he is. You don't have to love the guy to know that he's the only one who might take on this juggernaut that threatens our very existence as a civilization. London is a more Islamic city than much of the Muslim world put together, a leading Muslim scholar has argued. Now, if you think that's good for your daughter, you're insane. That's another topic that we can talk about. I'm not going to review what we have been talking about, why the elites are flooding the West with immigrants because whites are dying off, why Sanders won big with Michigan Muslims. What would you expect them to vote for? I'm a non-practicing Jew, meaning he's a communist who hates his own religion. He's a self-hating Jew. Therefore, he hates Israel. Why wouldn't they vote for him? If you're a self-hating Jew like Bernie Sanders or a self-hating Jew like Woody Allen, of course you vote for them if you don't like Jews. That's your best friend, someone who hates their own religion. They're co-religionists. That's all. KSFO Kim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I don't like you on the East Coast. I think you're small and you're judgmental and you're better than this. The whole thing.
I don't know. Wait, ma'am. I didn't hear what you said. I have a bit of a migraine. What did you just say? Now I'm small because of something you don't like?
Yeah.
I think that makes you even smaller.
That's fine. But here's my problem. It's a medical disease. Depression is a medical disease.
But we know that. You don't have to lecture me. I know all about depression. I've suffered it all my life.
To have to judge this man who couldn't live with it anymore.
But I'm not judging depression, you idiot. I'm talking about the morons who named a tunnel for a guy who whacked himself in a garage while his wife slept two doors away. They should have named the tunnel for a war hero.
Okay, as if the Bay Area doesn't have a whole bunch of stuff for war heroes. And don't ask me a little test about what the names are and where.
Yeah, name. Go ahead. Name something that they've ever named for a war hero. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to take your test.
Well, you don't have an answer. That's why. You're one of the lefties, so you don't have an answer for that. You don't even know what a war hero is. You would think it would be a transgender who faced discrimination in the military. That would be your idea of a war hero.
Anything about me.
Well, you know, you start by attacking me. I'm not going to sit here and take it because you're a caller and a woman. I don't know who you are. You could be a fly on a wall for all I care. I don't like your attitude. You're a snot nose. You're a snotty Bay Area type who thinks she knows everything.
I'm a listener. I like your show.
Take a walk. I don't care if you listen to me or not. How's that? Go listen to somebody else if you don't like me. You couldn't get as much intelligence or information from 20 other people. You're going to listen whether you like me or not. That's all. I'm so angry at people who I make one statement or just lecturing me on depression. I know depression really well. I don't wear it on my sleeve. I don't walk around talking about it like that moron, the hemorrhoid with eyes, every minute attacking somebody, that lunatic. That Glenn Beck, what a psychopath he's become. He started talking about his hemorrhoids a few years ago. We thought it was a joke. But he's escalated now. He's become a hemorrhoid. All of a sudden, he got eyeglasses to look intellectual. I think the guy dropped out of the ninth grade. Looks to me like he joined the Mormon church just to get the people of the Mormon faith to back him to sell his garbage books. Now he's attacking my friend Matt Drudge. Now he's attacking everybody in sight because they don't support the lunatic candidate that he supports. You talk about depression and what it can do to people. You don't have to go too far to find the answer to that one. I started comedic. Hour one ended tragic. Started hour two, a little comedic. By 30 after the hour, it's already anger. We've gone from comedic to tragic, comedic to anger. I don't know where I'm going to go in the next half hour, but go ahead, make my day. It is the Savage Nation. Let's go back to what happened in Michigan. There was a revolution in Michigan. Normally, a state that would have voted against Trump voted for him in the Republican side, and a state that normally would be in the pocket of the Clinton machine voted for the communist Bernie Sanders. That's a big story. So let's put our nose to the grindstone and talk about those topics for a few minutes on the show. Rex on WJR in Detroit. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing today? Thanks for having me.
Sir, make your point. It's not a conversation with an old relative.
All right, so why I like Bernie is what you're looking for, right? Honestly, really, I voted for him because his tax plans work. Taxes would go up slightly, sure, but it doesn't...
Sir, you're mumbling. Could you please start from the top? Whose tax plan are you talking about?
Yeah. You're talking about his, like, you're talking about his, like, 1% tax is going to take all from the rich.
Sir, you're mumbling. What are you saying? What are you calling the show to say?
Hello? Yeah, I'm talking about why Bernie's a good candidate. Why I voted for him in Michigan.
Why did you vote for him as a candidate in Michigan?
Well, for one, he has a good tax plan. The numbers work. They work out.
What is Bernie's tax plan? Go ahead, the one you love so much. Who gets hit the most?
First off, I don't know why you keep saying that his tax plan will take...
You're not answering the question. Who? You're an expert on Bernie Sanders' tax plan. Who shoulders the burden the most?
The 10 million plus income earners.
So you hate anybody who makes a lot of money. You think that they're the problem in America, correct?
No, not necessarily a problem, no, but
you
definitely...
Oh, but you'd like to see them pay more taxes so bums like you could live for free. Do you happen to know that the middle class is also hit by your communists' tax hike? Did you know the middle fifth of the country would shoulder about 10% of the burden? Every middle class family would owe $6,000 more over a decade under Bernie Sanders. And do you know that the people at low income levels that currently pay no income taxes would also pay less? They pay no income tax and then some. They pay nothing at all. Why shouldn't everybody pay a flat tax? Wouldn't that be more fair?
That's over a decade.
Let's forget the decade. Why shouldn't everyone pay taxes?
Everyone does pay taxes. I'm not a bum. I actually have a job.
No, not everyone pays taxes, sir. There's a large percentage of low-income households that pay no income taxes. Did you know that?
Yes, and if they weren't paying taxes, they'd be absolute bombs that have no say in this political process. You have to be a registered voter.
You're changing the argument. Why shouldn't they pay some income tax?
Everyone should pay some income tax.
Well, Bernie's plan doesn't contain that in it.
Yes, it does, actually.
No, it doesn't. I'm looking at it right in front of my eyes. The number of low-income households that currently pay no income taxes because they make so little would also decrease.
You know, it is a marginal tax rate, for one. If you keep spouting all this, taxes will go up. Sure, but it doesn't account for...
Do you know that your communist candidate would add a series of tax surcharges on households that make more than $200,000 a year? He would punish people who are successful? Does that make sense to you?
No, that would not happen. Marginal tax rate. Do you know the definition?
Sir, it's my talk show, not yours. He would add a series of tax surcharges on households that make more than $200,000. That's not rich. Do you know that? The average middle-class family with two working people make about $200,000 a year. Why should they pay a tax surcharge?
I don't think they are paying tax surcharges the way you think they're paying tax surcharges. You should look
No, they're not paying tax surcharges now, but under your communist liar from Brooklyn, they would pay a tax surcharge if they made more than $200,000. And that would raise the top marginal tax rate to 52%.
Yes, over people making 10...
This tax rate, we have the highest corporate tax rates in the world. And this communist would kill business. Do you know that?
Absolutely not. It would promote business. It would bring back...
All right, you're mumbling. I can't take it. Typical Peninsula Michigan voter. Loves Mittens Romney, no doubt. Probably would love to see Mittens Romney running on the Republican side. Old Mittens Romney. They get him a pair of mittens and put him up there, and a cat face and cat ears. And he could do like a Mr. Rogers pantomime against Hillary. Whenever she attacks him, he puts on the mittens and the furry little hat with the big ears. And he says, I'm Mittens Romney, I'm here to come today. I'm Mittens Romney, I'm here to save the day. I'm Mittens Romney, I have nothing negative to say. I'm Mittens Romney, please go away. 855-47282. Let's go to the next caller. KSFO San Francisco. Chris, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
My point is on the tunnel being named after Robin Williams. Not that I dislike the man. He was a great actor. He made a lot of money. He was prolifically funny. He's been honored in many, many, many ways before. But I agree with you that you shouldn't be naming a tunnel after him. In my opinion, his family should bequeath a little bit of his money towards a mental hospital or a hospital that deals with depression, open up a Robin Williams wing to hopefully help some people not go down the same road as he did, because with all of his fame and all of his wealth, it wasn't enough to stop or to save him from the hole he was in.
Listen, I agree with everything you said. He was a wonderfully nice man. I knew him as a neighbor who walked his dog. We talked a lot in the street. I've said that. However, my point is, if you're going to name a public conveyance, a tunnel, you name it for a war hero, not for a comedian who hung himself with a strap off a little chair in his garage while his wife, a lovely lady, slept two doors down in the same house. That's an act of vengeance, by the way, in my opinion, of a very aggressive act of vengeance. No one's even accepting that.
I totally agree with that sentiment, because part of my thing on it is that by putting his name on that tunnel, it's not going to help save anybody else from going down the same road that he went down.
Yeah, maybe the next depressive will say, gee, if I can make a big enough splash, maybe they'll name something for me.
And that's not the kind of, that's not the portrayal you want to put to other people.
But that's an example of the backwards thinking of progressives. Progressives are really regressives.
There's so many other things they could do with his name to actually help people and save people from going down that road, but by putting his name on the tunnel, that's not doing it.
I think you've said it perfectly, Chris. I'm sending you a copy of my book, Government Zero. In about a month, I'll have copies of Teddy and me to start giving away for Mother's Day. It's too early. It's going to be my favorite book because all positive, all positive, all positive. I won't get agitated anymore. It makes me happy to think about it, how many years I have left with my dog. After the last thing I went through with them. You know, you're an animal. What's an animal? You think about an animal. Well, they're just like us in many ways. Of course, they're different. We understand that they don't have souls. I know that. Trust me, I wrote about that in the book. You'll come to see it. I'm not one of these lunatic lovers of animals. I'm not a crazy person who puts them in the same category as a human being. The human being is divine. We have souls. They don't. They have wonderful spirits. I know you're going to get people call they have souls. I get it. Okay. I don't agree with you. We have a divine soul that's uniquely human. That's what makes us different than lower animals. That is why they have traditionally been called lower animals. Of course we love them. Of course we understand that they have wonderful spirits inside. But they don't have the human soul. We are unique in the animal kingdom. It's hard to tell people that in an age of such spiritual debasement and such a lack of knowledge. They don't even know what the word higher animal means anymore. But nevertheless, you know, they make us happy. So when he lost his teeth, because the gums were rotting out, just like us. So he gets old. He's 11, 12. I didn't know the time caught up with him. And other than the Hal, he had a Hal on him. I almost died in the car. I thought something, we run over something with the muffler. Like, I didn't know for a while. It was like a Hal. I didn't know his litter was coming up from the floorboards. I think it was a one-armed Frank story. But it turned out Noah's gums were rotting out. They were like, Teddy, please, man. And they get embarrassed, too. You think they don't know? It's like, Teddy, please, like my eye winced. I got a migraine. He's just like, you know. So you take him in, the dentist says he's got to have like 7 teeth removed on the bottom. All right. So now when I took him in for the cardiogram, now to give him a cardiogram because he has a murmur, like a child, some have. So they had to see if his heart was strong enough to take anesthesia. I have it on my Facebook page. When he let out a high-pitched whine to me as he was being held down for the cardiogram, I heard like, it was like a porpoise sound. I don't think anyone else in the room heard it. He didn't howl like a dog. It was a high-pitched whine that a cetacean would have given off that I heard. I wanted to bang my head against a wall, but I had to hold him down, though. I wanted to smash my head against a wall in the room, the pain I was putting him through, the fear. But I couldn't. All right, you know, we're rational. So they gave him the cardiogram. Then they shake themselves off, the little brave characters that they are. They don't know what happened. The next thing you know, they're back and they're running around. 2 days later, he went into the teeth removed. When I got him back, you know, he was like, you know, after anesthesia and the operation, I had to give him baby food and talk to him. I sang to him. So believe me, you know, you look at that and you see yourself. You see your father, you see your mother, you see your brother, your sister. You see the human condition. We live through our animals in that way because in our society, we're cut off from death. The only deaths that we see really are those who are like whisked away. A human, though, we're not like in a Sajat Ray movie in India where death is all around us. It's not the teaching of Don Juan where death stalks us. We make believe there is no death in our society. Someone dies in your neighborhood, you don't even know it, like they're whisked away, like in Brave New World, gone. Did you know Mr. John's over? No, never heard of him. Well, yeah, Doug. Really, no kidding. Hey, how's the transgender coming over there? Very, he ain't, that's it. So you don't want to know about it. We've been that part of our society. But the animals remind us of our mortality. Their mortality, our mortality. And it's one of the things that's so touchingly beautiful about attaching yourself to an animal. It kind of reminds you about your humanity if you let it, you know, really get into you. You know what I'm saying? So you can go down that road and you could let it get to you and you can get psychotically depressed over it. That is futile to live altogether. Or you could say life is beautiful and enjoy what you have while you have it. You know, look out and kiss the sky, as Jimi Hendrix wrote. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2647. All right, here we go, here we go. Is it going to be comedy? Is it going to be tragedy? Is it going to be anger? Is it going to be rage? It's up to you. It's up to you. I got a lot of topics out there, and what you latch on to is fine. I'm looking to now. I'm seeing again Fox News has 4 GOP contenders on again tonight with Mad Dog Kelly. Tonight on Fox News, all lined up again, night after night after night. I'm embarrassed to be an American. This is not an election cycle. This is a TV cycle. This is evil. This is the most manipulated election I've ever seen in my life. No nation on earth should permit an election to go on this long. No sane nation should permit the people to be distracted like this. It's a disaster to watch this garbage on and on and on and on. I would love to see the election cycle reduced to 90 days. 90 days, that's it, and then we vote. I am sick of this. It's a circus. Just a circus. It's like voting for one, not a candidate over another. It's now voting for a celebrity over another. You can thank Rupert Murdoch for this. He destroyed the election and the electoral process in America. You're talking, you know, why do you think I've called Rupert Murdoch Moloch for all these years? If you read enough of Huxley, you know who Moloch was. This man is like a Moloch. You know, we heard that Hearst got us into the Spanish-American War with his inflammatory yellow journalism and his newspapers. Well, ask yourself what a guy like Moloch has done to this country. Has it been positive or negative? Ask yourself what Mad Dog Kelly has done for the Republican campaign, coming out with that attack on Donald Trump for no reason. Now suddenly she's his best friend. Oh, yeah, with the new hairdo. Roller derby queen. All she needs is a pair of roller derby shoes. What a maniac this has become. Like a mad story. That's why I try to avoid it as much as I can. Another one tonight. I'm supposed to get sound bites and sit home tonight and eat a pizza? I'm supposed to sit tonight with a pizza and watch Fox News. Oh, look at that. She said this. He said that. Oh, look what Brett Baer said. There's a shifting around in his chair. Oh, look what they said. Look what he said. Look at Kasich. Please. Who cares? DRC, Connecticut, Cliff, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead. What do you care about? Talk on the Savage Nation.
To a certain extent. Now, Michael, what I'm going to ask you, what's the difference between the spirit and the soul, since you mentioned it?
In my opinion, since I don't know, I mean, I don't know for sure. You understand? Until I cross over to the other side, and then I won't be able to come back and tell you. I believe that we are I believe we are given human souls at birth. And I believe many of us lose our souls along the road of life and we become nothing like animals themselves, whether it is through drugs or, repetitive sensualism. I believe we can easily drive the soul out of our own body. What is a spirit is an animated form, an animated energy within our bodies that moves us. It's not connected to a higher power. It's not connected to God. It's almost a mechanistic animal spirit as opposed to a soul that is connected to God. That's as close as I could come, Cliff.
Mike, can I jump in?
I'm listening.
Okay. You're personally right. The soul is what, you could Google it, and then you could ask other people that have life after death experiences. So you could take it from them. That means they died, then they came back. They can tell you their experience. So number one, there is a heaven and there is a hell. So the soul is what you feel. So your emotions, your consciousness, what you have from an individual standpoint, that's considered your soul. Now the spirit is a form. So it's a form in which you exist. So our Father, our Creator, depending on who you believe, is in the spirit form. He is God in that form. So we have that. So when we pass and when we die, we lose the physical form. However, our soul still exists. But then when passing, our spirit's still alive and our soul is embedded or it's enframed in the spirit form.
Okay, Cliff, you're a very thoughtful man. I assume you've been through a lot in your life. I assume you're in a theological world. Have you had a near-death experience?
No, I haven't, but let me segue this.
No, I need to ask you, are you a preacher?
No, I do believe that there's a creator, and I understand. My mother passed, and I understand.
Wait, hold on, this is important. We have a little time here, but Cliff, have you seen people in your life who are walking around without souls?
Absolutely. That's my point I'm making. When you hate other people, especially here in Connecticut, we're known for the most horrendous crime, that Newtown, when this kid walked into a school and killed 25 young innocent children.
So he had no soul. He was like a cyborg.
Nope.
A cyborg. But the mother was worse than him. That kid Adam Lanza. That's who you're talking about. The mother should have stopped him. The mother was the nut who gave him the gun. The kid was a crazy person. The mother was crazier, in my opinion. What'd she give him a gun for? I'll be back. Hour three. Be here.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I want to thank the special interests and the lobbyists because they obviously did something to drive these numbers. I mean, we're close to 50 and 40 and... But I want to congratulate them, because to raise that much money that quickly is a pretty good feat, right? Do we agree? No, many of them are my friends, but they just have to gamble. You know, they have to do it.
Not bad. Revolution going on both sides of the aisle. The world's being turned upside down, rightly so, because of what Obama has done and is doing to the world. Welcome to hour number three. Hour number three. I'd rather not talk about the election for 5 seconds. I'd rather use talk radio's time to talk about, I don't know, more interesting things than that. There are so many things out there in the world that are more interesting, but if you want to only talk about that, I'm open for it. And talk radio means it's your show. 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. We've been talking about other topics, and if I take some of the calls, I think that you'll catch up to speed of what the topics were. WJR, Detroit, Jared, welcome. What's your topic, Jared?
Hello, Mike. This is Jared from Akron, Ohio, listening on WJR.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Heard you make a comment earlier about death, and it's funny. I was reading a book a couple years ago. It was written by a lieutenant colonel. Don't really remember his name, but it was basically about how our society, like, has taken death out of the equation. And one of the biggest reasons that our soldiers go over to war and then they come back and, you know, they just can't, like, deal with that is because of, you know, like, none of them really kill their own food. Like, back in the day, everybody lived on a farm. Everybody was used to death.
Oh, so you're saying in the day when there were so many farmers in war, death was more understood by them if they slaughtered a pig or they slaughtered a cow. Then when they're on a battlefield and they saw the guts laying open or whatever, it didn't affect them as much as today.
His study actually showed that it was, it actually made the soldiers come back and at least admit, you know, maybe it was false, but they at least admitted to the psychiatric help on their way back to normal life that they had killed more people than our veterans in World War II.
I hear what you're saying. So because it is so divorced from our lives, death is so divorced from our lives, most men who are in combat and have to kill the enemy to avoid being killed or to defend their fellow soldiers, block it out, is what you're saying.
Exactly. But they don't know how to rationalize that once they get back to the real world. It's like back, you know, in the 40s, even, you know, somewhat in the 50s, but not really in the Vietnam, and that's where you see the real spike in the PTSD. And a lot of the veterans, you know, after that time and through today, you know, they've never even seen so much as, you know, their family pet, you know, be...
That's right. Usually the pet's sick and they're taken away and they're euthanized before the animal even dies.
Exactly. And it's like
grandma gets sick and grandma is let to die in a nursing home. No one sees her die.
Exactly. And there were times where your grandmother would have died in the back room and everybody would have been there and they, you know, and it also went into things about sex, how sex has been taken away from people and made to be dirty, made to be bad, and how our society, you know, really hasn't benefited from that.
Well, I think the over-sexualization of our society, not only by the media, but in every other sphere, has destroyed the sanctity of sex. It's turned it into a sneeze in the night.
Yeah. Well, he was saying, and it really made me think, like, back, you know, even 100 years ago, you had one-room houses. So children grew up knowing that their parents had sex. They might have heard it or, God forbid, seen it. But it was a natural thing. It was a beautiful thing. It wasn't something that was disgusting or, you know, and that made people, once they got into a marriage or, you know, they moved on in their lives, it kind of made them, you know, understand sex. Where today it's considered dirty and it's behind closed doors and oh, your parents have sex. It's disgusting.
So, Jared, what you're saying is we're divorced from life itself in America, the Western world, right? We're just divorced completely. Sex, death, you name it. Isn't that what you're saying?
And death. You know, death is just as important to life as life. It's like we wouldn't have any human emotion without death. We wouldn't be afraid, and we wouldn't, you know, covet our loved ones because we would have, you know, unlimited time with them. So you probably wouldn't.
True. No, no, what you're saying is really true. It's only by understanding the fleeting nature of life that makes us pause and stop and say, wait a minute, let me stop being an idiot for a minute and get along with my family instead of being a moron because we're not here forever.
Everybody wants to, you know, say, oh, I just wish I could live forever. And if you live forever, your life would mean nothing. You wouldn't.
Jared, have you, are you a combat veteran?
Yes, I am.
I can hear that. Where did you serve?
I was in Iraq, Al Asad, Iraq, with MALS 26, Marine Corps.
And did it leave you scarred?
Honestly, I was an aviation electronics technician, and I've never taken it away from the guys that were on the ground kicking in doors. I had a pretty easy deployment, you know. I was on the base.
Yeah, but I hear a certain kind of pathos and tragedy in your voice. Something's underneath the surface here.
Maybe I'm just nervous because you're kind of like my idol, and I'm on a national radio show. But
I understand. It's very intimidating, actually. It really is. Just that we get so used to it, we think that it's a norm for us. But I do remember the time in my life when I would have been shaking in my boots to stand before a microphone. Right now, you know, we get over it. We got a long time ago. You just talk, and this is so natural. But, yeah, you're talking to millions of people. And the way to, as a caller, I've given people hints before. There are a lot of people who are thoughtful. They want to call the show, but they're afraid that they won't be able to form their thoughts. They'll sound, you know, idiotic, or they'll start to shake. You've got to focus as though you're talking to a friend on the other side of your phone who you know, and you're just having a phone conversation, and screen out the audience. It's the only way to call a talk show, and then you can have a natural conversation. Jared, thank you so much, and thank you for the service that you've given this nation. It's men like you who permit us to have these radio shows, by the way. Because make no mistake about it, that's not just a homily. Were it not for the men who fight and fought for this nation, that's the end of the road. We wouldn't have any ability to speak freely. And, you know, I talked yesterday about what's the difference between a Trump presidency and a Clinton presidency. I could focus it all in on national security, but I could also focus it in on the First Amendment. Hillary would greatly diminish free speech in America. Trump would greatly expand free speech in America. On the Second Amendment, Hillary would do everything she could to seize our right to bear arms and defend ourselves from a home intruder, for example. Trump would not touch our right to bear arms. I could go down the list, and don't think people don't know this. I noticed by demographics that he's attracting a large number of blue-collar Democrats who are on the lower level of the, quote, formal education. That means they're smarter. That means their brains haven't been washed as long in America's school systems. And I'm a man with many higher degrees. Trust me, when I went to university, I wasn't getting the brainwashing, especially in graduate school. It was law. It wasn't there. If you're in the sciences, it was the sciences. We weren't studying rubbish, social science rubbish that's penetrated everything. But today, it's everywhere. If you study astrophysics, they put in garbage into the astrophysics. There was an article. I got to get this article, what they're doing to our soldiers. It's heartbreaking. Hold it. Oh, here. Oh, you got to see it. Just give me a minute. Let me get it. Hold on. I'm pulling it off the table here. I picked it for you this morning. It was a ripe fruit at the top of the tree. It was not low-hanging fruit. This was a high-hanging fruit story that I had to climb the tree to get. Here it is. Documents reveal U.S. Army indoctrinated soldiers on dangers of white privilege. Judicial Watch announced today that it obtained documents from the United States Department of the Army revealing that in April of 2015, 400 soldiers in the 67th Signal Battalion at Fort Gordon, Georgia, were subjected to a white privilege briefing, including a PowerPoint presentation instructing the attendees, quote, our society attaches privilege to being white and male and heterosexual. Well, folks listening to the show, let me tell you, if it wasn't for the white male heterosexual, majority, by the way, Christian heterosexual, you'd be a lampshade or a bar of soap. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Marco Lopole is at the end of his ropes 1 week before must-win Florida. And this happened after he started attacking Trump. Instead of going up, he went down. He called him a con artist. He attacked the spray tan. He talked about tall men with small hands. And what happened was he killed himself. That tells you something, doesn't it? Here are some other headlines that are really sickening. The Department of Justice, so-called, under the psycho attorney general, has put out a new effort under the banner of civil rights enforcement. The so-called U.S. Justice Department plans to promote religious freedom in the nation's public schools. That sounds good, doesn't it? You'd think they'd protect Christians, wouldn't you? No. They're going to crack down on discrimination against Muslims. This is a largely Christian nation. The new enforcement effort announced on Tuesday under Obama's goon squad will expand DOJ's ability to investigate and prosecute complaints, lead community outreach, and develop guidance for federal prosecutors, according to Vinita Gupta, head of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. This is right out of the communist playbook. They're saying Muslim Americans are now suffering a backlash of violence as a result of the slaughter of San Bernardino and other Muslim acts of terror. So instead of focusing in on mosques and some of the violent individuals who are obviously hiding there, they're going to attack school children who may say something negative or perceived to be negative about Islam. Can you believe this? Yeah, well, it's Barack Obama who won't even go to Nancy Reagan's funeral. He's going to go to an entertainment venue instead. Let's see. Pentagon admits it has deployed military spy drones over the U.S. Wonder what that's about. What do you need them for? Why don't they send a drone over the White House that listens in at night when Al Sharpton's there? Let's see. Iran nuke deal. Forget about that one. Oh, here's one for all of you who are such do-gooders who want to close Guantanamo and release the Muslim terrorists from Guantanamo where they're treated better than our soldiers in Fort Leavenworth. Twice as many former Gitmo inmates are returning to terrorism. Twice as many. Twice as many. Twice as many. Two terrorists in one. Two terrorists in one. Twice as many Guantanamo terrorists are returning to terrorism as thought. Those, my friends, are some of the headlines of the Savage Nation. Now let's go to the callers. You're invited to call at 855-407-282. Great callers. DGJ New York, BOB Florida, JJF New York. Where are my friends from Fort Lauderdale? WFTL. I was up there yesterday. I'm not there right now. I'm back at a home studio in Florida in a hidden location. Finally, Comcast hasn't knocked me off the air for the first time. So far, I've been 2.5 hours good. I haven't had to make the one hour ride and meet the nicest people on earth. I tell you, I've done a lot of radio stations in my life. There's some of the nicest people. WABC was great. WFTL was great. I can't say that about every station I go into. Some of them don't even want me there. They're always too busy. They don't want you in the studio, even in my hometown. It's unbelievable to me. Anyway, that's the story. It's the Savage Nation, 855-407-282. B.O.B., Jacksonville. Greg, go ahead. Topic, please. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi, Michael. Greg from Jacksonville. Just to further elucidate a little bit on the point the previous caller made on death, you know, in a sense, what's happened in the society is that the physical death has been taken out of our lives from the agrarian society, but the human existence still, we have an interest in death. But what's happened, I think, in the media, that it's actually been almost exploited, almost in a perversion. We have all of these shows. The media is all of these shows about death, CSI, crime scene investigation, the death and violence. So we still have an interest in death since it's such a part of the human existence, but it's almost been exploited in an unhealthy way by the media. Just an opinion.
Well, I understand that. It's also a fictionalized version of death, the way the writers portray it in the media, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about a fictionalized death. It's not real. How many times has the great liberal Harvey Weinstein, who made his fortune by glorifying violence, who now is he's going to seize our guns working with Obama, hand in glove. I love it. All these Hollywood liars. Sean Penn, one of the greatest liars in history, in my opinion. talks about violence and this and that. Every other movie he's in is either breaking someone's head open with an axe or shooting them or stabbing them or punching them to death. So you say, what does that do to the human condition? That every movie you turn on, someone's getting killed, etc. It dehumanizes people. It also lessens the impact of such acts, doesn't it, of violence? Which is why there's more and more violence. You can thank Hollywood for the violence spike in America.
Exactly. And that's pathetic.
In other words, if you show violence in on a movie or on a TV show, you're detached from the human agony on the side of those experiencing the violence. It's just a filmic image. You're not feeling the pain that person feels. So therefore, it's just an image rather than a deeper experience. And so therefore, it permits a young person who's stupid or impressionable or stoned to commit the most absurd acts of violence against another human without even understanding the pain that they're causing. Or on the other hand, maybe they enjoy causing that pain because they're so sick. Thank you. What's the point of talking about it? You talk about pain and pleasure. What about this election? It's becoming painful to me. It's becoming painful that every night Fox or CNN or MSNBC, every night they're running a town hall, a schmown hall, a clown hall, a frown hall, a brown hall, a pink hall, a white hall. Have you ever seen anything like this? Every night another excuse for Murdoch to sell tissues, to sell a drug. Every night another excuse to have clowns on the stage. Town hall, schmown hall, frown hall. For God's sakes, don't you see through this yet? This is not really an election that we're living through. This is gigantic salesmanship for the cable channels. The cable channels have 24-hour, 7 news cycles that they have to fill. And so they take Mad Dog Kelly and they pit her against Trump to start the ball rolling. And by the way, from that day on, it's not been a very, very dignified campaign. I would blame Mad Dog Kelly for reducing this election to the lowest common level, the lowest level I've ever seen in my life. Mad Dog Kelly, I know you can't accept it because she's blonde and blue-eyed. I get it. I know we're a little off the topic of the election and what this one belched and that one burped and this one moved and that one flipped the ear and that one did this and this one's up and that one's down. How much can you take of that? You know, I made a new statement for my show, Talk Radio for the Thinking Person. Can we think a little bit about something other than Bernie Sanders' soiled suit or Donald Trump's steak or vodka or Hillary Clinton's pantsuit or Marco's low poll numbers or, you know, Ted cruising to victory, whatever. Can we go on to something else, please? No, I've come up with some great topics. And I know I'm getting callers on. I mean, we've gone from the Lincoln Tunnel to the Robert and Williams Tunnel in one generation. Michigan exit poll data, Trump infomercial, Bernie Sanders, a Jew, wins amongst Muslims in Michigan. These are big stories. And how does a Jewish guy win amongst Muslims? How? By denying his Jewishness, number one, and telling them that he's such a self-hating Jew that he'll make sure Israel suffers if he becomes president. So if you were a Muslim, you'd go for him too. No, you're going to vote for a guy who says he's a practicing Jew? Says, I'm a non-practicing. What does it mean, non-practicing? Either you are or you are. How could you practice at being something? God doesn't see you that way. You want to talk about religion for a minute. It's something you should understand. In other words, let's say whatever your religion is, Catholic, let's say, is more Catholics than Jews. I'll make it more universal. So a man says, I'm a lapsed Catholic. Or a girl says, I'm a lapsed Catholic. Not to God you aren't. You're still a Catholic. Same thing with a Jew. Say, well, I don't really believe in anything. Doesn't matter what you believe in. To God, you're still Jewish. That's the way it works. That's just the way it works. Doesn't matter what you think, because you don't own yourself. I know you think you do, but you don't. You belong to God. And that's how it's been for centuries, and that's how it's going to be centuries after you leave the earth. You may think you're going through a brave new world right now, but you're not. You're going through a delusional new world right now that'll soon come to a crashing end. As sure as I'm sitting here, it'll come to a crashing end. So now we're talking philosophy, theology, stuff I like. Michael on KSFO Radio in San Francisco. What's on your mind, Michael?
Yes, I wanted to say that Islam is not a religion of peace. 70% of Muslims in Egypt, as a matter of fact, believe that the Dutch cartoonist should have been prosecuted for drawing a cartoon of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. Also, it's very obvious. If you look at the Bukhari Hadith, a very conventional text in many, many mosques, Muhammad is a warlord. He's someone who beheaded Jews. He's someone who spread Islam as a faith by the sword. Compare this to Christianity, the prophet being Jesus. And what did he do? He is essentially a hippie that went around and said, yo, you don't need this money. So they're very...
Right. The message of Christianity is love thy neighbor as thyself. Turn the other cheek. It's not about kill the other neighbor and break his other cheek.
The point being, we have a fundamental problem with the faith of Islam because it's textual. It's not ideological. The ideology stems from the text. So the only way to destroy Islam is to, I'm sorry, but destroy the extremists who hold these very pernicious views.
Yeah, but what about the Muslims who are not extremists? Michael, what do you do with the Muslims who, you're saying every Muslim is an extremist? You know that's not true.
No, Michael, what I'm saying is if you are not a quote-unquote extremist Muslim, you are not taking the faith very seriously. Because it very explicitly says that you should, in fact, smite ye above the head, of course, referring to the Israel. And
no, I understand. Listen, I know the texts. The ancient texts say these things. But, you know, in all fairness, Michael, I've read the Old Testament for many years. In fact, I carry around the copy of an English translation of all the five books of Moses. I know them almost verbatim. I have 1,000 or more post-its on certain chapters and verses. They're pretty severe in the teachings of the Old Testament as well. The thing what you're saying is Islam needs to go through a reformation, as has Judaism and as has Christianity. There has been no reformation in Islam. They're living in a 500-year-old view of the world or a 1,000-year-old view of the world. You need a reformation in a religion in order for them to cooperate with the other religions of the earth.
Well, what I was going to say, actually, right when you said that, and I agree very much so, that the Old Testament is, in fact, in my belief, worse than the Quran in terms of, you know, pernicious.
It is. It's a book of hate. The Old Testament is a book of hate. If you were to practice the Old Testament literally, especially in Leviticus, it's a book of hate. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
Right, but Michael, Christians had the time. They were beheading infidels in their mind, non-Christians, thousands of years ago. Right now, the problem is Islam. It is a very, very big problem. Listen, the Obama administration, this is not my home country.
No, let's not get off the track. The problem is that Islam is stuck behind the other religions of the world. It has not yet moved forward in time. And as the world evolves, and as people cooperate with each other, and as Muslims come into contact with Jews and Christians and Muslims and Hindus, and agnostics in this country, most of them will change in time. I don't know if they'll change in time to stop the madness that we see evolving in too many places where such hatred is preached to the young.
People who say that Islam is a religion of peace are truly ignorant because it is explicitly...
Well, I think you've made your point, but to keep hammering it isn't going to change anything. You're just going to make people uncomfortable. I mean, you know, there's an old saying, if you take a man as he is, you'll make him worse. If you take a man as he can be, you might have a chance of changing him. And that's the whole basis, by the way, of our penal system. In other words, you could tell a person he's a horrible human being and you put him in jail and you make him worse. And while he's in prison, you continuously torture him mentally and other ways. You're going to make him come out 10 times worse than he went in. That is why the liberal philosophy of giving them psychotherapy and whatnot isn't such a bad idea. At least you give them a chance, some of them, to change. Otherwise, it's hopeless.
As soon as they are deemed to be enemy combatants on the war field, their fate...
Michael, you keep going back to your main point, which you've made, that Islam is violent at its core. But that doesn't mean that all practitioners of the religion of Islam are violent.
But scholarly research has shown this to be true. If you look at Buddhism, Buddhists who are extremists are true deviants from the Buddhist religion and its various sects. There is nothing in Buddhist scripture that says to smite ye above the head.
But wait, hold on for a minute. Well, slow down for a minute, but I've also read the Buddhist tractates cover to cover. And if you look at the history of warfare in Buddhist countries, they were ferocious warriors. You know that, don't you?
they were, Michael, but what I'm saying is...
and let's not forget, you know, you say Buddhist, the American view of a Buddhist is a guy in a saffron robe with a shaved head who sits going om somewhere in an ashram with his hands together. But Buddhism is not a religion of pacifism at all.
No. But there's nothing that says that if you're an unbeliever... To me, I would say that the warfare, as described in Buddhist texts, is justifiable. Whereas the warfare, as described in the Quran and the Bukhari Hadith and other Islamic texts, is unjustifiable, is murderous, is...
Yeah, it's a conversion document. The essence of ancient Islam is that of converting everyone or killing them. Let's be blunt. Let's not put on rose-colored glasses. That is what is in the ancient texts. I understand that. But to be fair to the discussion, the same is true of the Old Testament. The difference, my friend, is that Jews have gone through a reformation in their view of the Old Testament, as have modern Muslims. But this is not true for Muslims, for example, throughout the world.
So long as you agree that Islam will never deviate from Muhammad being their prophet, and with any religion, a prophet of your God that you're worshiping is the ultimate idol, and... So long as you believe this, we will...
So what's your answer here? What are you saying, then? What, Islam should be outlawed in the in America?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't hear you. Let's be clear. What are you saying? Islam should be outlawed in America?
I am saying that Islam... No. I'm saying that there are plenty of peaceful Muslims, but it must be stressed that these Muslims are not following the religion of Islam if they are not engaged in jihad, if they are not... engaged in acts that we would deem...
You could argue, then, that Jewish people were not practicing all the tenets of the Old Testament as described, for example, in the book of Leviticus, where you kill adulterers, you kill homosexuals, you stone them to death. Well, they're not being Jewish either, and yet most Jews don't do that. 99.999%, maybe 100% of Jews don't do that. So somehow that's changed. So why shouldn't we assume it won't change amongst Muslims?
But listen, Michael, what I'm saying is I am sticking with the textual identity of the religion.
So what's your solution, then? What's the answer?
Well, first we have to identify the problem. The problem is the textuality of
what we
should do as a nation.
Yeah, well, Donald Trump has a solution. Donald Trump is the only one who ever talked about Islam in that way. And he's been turned into Hitler and Mussolini and worse by idiot drug addicts who don't even know what he's saying. He didn't say ban Islam. He didn't say throw Muslims out of America. He never said that. What he said was no Muslim immigration until we can figure this thing out. And he means that by this thing, he meant what's going on in the Middle East and Syria. That's what he said. And that's why he's surging in the polls.
Michael, think about this. What is wrong with having a travel ban or having an immigration ban on Muslims into this country? Right now we have a very, very clear problem with the Muslim population.
Go tell that to Barack Obama and Jay Johnson of the Department of Homeland Security. Go tell it to the Department of Justice. Don't tell it to me. They're the ones who have kicked the doors open and invited in as many Muslims as they can. They're flying them in by the boatload.
Exactly.
Go look at Washington, D.C. and tell me it looks like America. It looks like you're in Baghdad in the 1920s.
Point being, though, Michael, you have a higher...
Okay, you're breaking up, but I think we've covered it. That's all. So we can move on. Donald Trump is the only candidate who articulated what the average American who's thought about it sees and fears, which is exactly what's going on in Europe, which is a sweeping away of the Christian domination, sweeping away the white European, and changing the nations of Europe for the worse forever. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
built a great, great company. I have very low debt. I have assets. You've seen Mar-a-Lago, you know, many, many jobs in New York, including the city on the west side, the Bank of America building, a big chunk of it in San Francisco. I have Trump International, the water company. I supply the water for all my places, and it's good. Trump steaks. Where are the steaks? Do we have steaks? We have Trump steaks. And by the way, you want to take one, we'll charge you about, what, $50 a steak. You have the airline, you have the wines and all of that. We have Trump Magazine. It goes to all of my clubs. I've had it for many years. And it's the magazine. It's great. In Trump University, we're going to start it up as soon as I win the lawsuit. Does that make sense? I mean, that's it. Okay.
See, the reason this infomercial last night was so good is that even though he's been compared to Hitler by the National Review, Cokie Roberts, Salon, National Review, Commentary, The Huffington Post, and, of course, Bug Eyes himself, Fareed Zakariyyeh. He's been declared to Hitler for the fact that he was very popular, like Hitler was, and said things that any person who's trying to inspire mass audiences would say. You have to understand that even Hitler didn't have steaks. Hitler didn't have a winery. Hitler didn't have bottled water. Hitler did not have an airline. Hitler did not have a magazine. Hitler didn't have Hitler University. So this is very good, the celebratory speech that became an infomercial. It has certainly put to rest the idea that he is exactly like the Austrian imposter who led the world to disaster. And that's the rest of the Savage story. 855-407-282 is the phone number. As the hour fades, we have 2 minutes left. Let's see what kind of calls we have out there. We've touched on why Muslims would vote for Bernie Sanders, the Trump infomercial, Michigan exit poll data, how we've gone from the Lincoln Tunnel to the Robin Williams Tunnel in one generation. I expressed my concerns about naming a tunnel for someone who committed suicide when they should have named it for a war hero. There are quite a few, by the way, from Marin County and San Francisco. You wouldn't know it, though, living in the cesspool of the mind that San Francisco actually is. I don't know if I want to take any callers. I'm not sure if there's any reason to take a caller unless it's a super caller on the program. Today already is Wednesday. Let's see. Man kills his girlfriend, then texts her ex-husband. So you're talking about death. This is the front page of the New York Post right now. Man kills his girlfriend, then texts her ex-husband. The most interesting man in the world is getting put out the pasture. Remember him? With the beer, the Mexican beer he made famous. He looks like me, by the way. I'm actually a more interesting man than him, but I don't advertise beer. They're putting him out the pasture. They're getting a younger man to image that Mexican beer. I don't drink it. Swill. Even when in its heyday, when I was a beer drinker in the 70s, that beer tasted like swill to me. Let's see now. Giants woo Olivier Vernon to cap $200 million spending spree. You hear what they pay an idiot with a ball? Swan dies after tourist drags it from lake for photo. You hear what people have become? Eva Longoria goes sheer and more star snaps in the day. How much can they take of this? Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris's first year of romance. This is what the average Adderall swiller looks at. They don't look at the news. They don't know about an American slain in Israel, was a war hero, a West Point graduate who served tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan, that he was killed by a Palestinian, ran around with a knife and cut his throat. They don't know about an Air Force vet as the first American found guilty of trying to join ISIS. They don't know about that. They don't know about a baby found stuffed in a passenger's bag on an airplane. They don't know any of this. They don't care. All they care about is star snaps of the day. There's a whole thing on O.J. Simpson going on again now, all of a sudden, like I care. What do we care about that for? That whole trial. Okay, my friends, it's a show for March 9th, 2016. If you got nothing better to do tonight, go and order a pizza, take out pizza, and sit and watch Fox News tonight to see the four people again arguing with each other as Mad Dog Kelly pits them against each other to sell Kleenex tissues. That's an election? That's an abomination. Be here tomorrow. Thank you.